Hey, welcome. It's great to have you here. My name is Mark. I'm one of the pastors here at C3. And I want to start before we actually get into what we're going to talk about today. I want to welcome you. What we found out probably about a month ago is when the pandemic and everything happened, we thought, okay, everything has to shut down at the building. We're going to go online. And we're thinking, okay, well, it's going to be people from the church that are going to be online. What we found out about a month ago is we've got 26 countries in the world watching this thing. Man, we just want to welcome you. We are so glad. You may be in another country right now watching this. We are so glad that you are part of this. I want to encourage you on something. We want you to be on this online stream. We want you to hear how God loves you and how God cares about you and how you can have a relationship with him. We want you to have that. But my prayer and my concern for you is this, is that you can be on this, but if you are in the pandemic, whenever things open up in your country, I want to highly recommend that you get connected to a local church in your country to get to know Christ. You can be on our online stream all you want. But we want you to have the one another's of scripture that talks about where we need to be together. So welcome. So glad that you are here. A lot of C3ers, a lot of people in Tri-Cities, but we've got 26 other countries that are watching. And we're glad that you are part of that. Now, let me talk to you if you are a C3er or if you are in Tri-Cities or near Tri-Cities. I'm going to tell you something that we're getting ready to start. We're getting ready to start with small groups. Small groups are starting up in the next week or so, and you can be a part of it. Now, some of you are like going, oh, I've been on a Zoom one before. Zoom's no fun. I don't like it. Can I tell you, we're going to have two different choices. You can have in-person groups, or you can be on a Zoom group, whichever one you want to do. You can be on an in-person group, or you can be on a Zoom group, whichever one that you want to do. And here we have all sorts of different kinds of small groups. We've got different ones like Bible studies. We have activities. We have groups for supports. We have groups for accountability. We have all different types of groups. But here's what we're doing because of the pandemic and everything. These groups will only go somewhere between 4 and 8 weeks. Usually we start like in the third week of September and we go up to Thanksgiving, but we're not doing that this time. We're going only 4 to 8 weeks. So it's not a long commitment a lot of times, but here's what it's going to do for you. Here's what it's going to do for us. We will get to grow as we are learning with other people. We begin to grow and become closer to God, know God better, grow in our discipleship, and we make some friends. This is something for only 4 or 6 weeks. You can do this. Now, you're going to say, well, how do I do this? How do I get into a group, Mark? Great question. Glad you asked. Here's what we do. You can go to our website, c3tricities.com, look at all the small groups and pick whichever one you want through the website. You can also then go to our app. Our app is a place where you can go through and tell us which one you want to do. Also on our app, you could do what we call a connection card, where you fill out your information, and on that connection card, you put on there which group you want it to go to, and then you send that into us electronically on our app, and we'll get you into that group. So these are ways that you can be part for 4 to 8 weeks growing to know God better and to be making friends. We hope that you will make this choice. We've got a lot of choices for you to be able to pick from. Now, here's the other thing I want to talk to you about real quick. Some of you are looking at me and going, why in the world is he wearing the Seahawks shirt? It's because today is the Seahawks' first game. And man, we're just so excited. I mean, finally, we got something normal, right? We got football starting. And I don't know if they're going to have fans there or not in the crowd, but we're excited that there's going to be football. And so today, that's why I'm wearing that. You may be from another country. You may be from another state and going, why is he wearing the Seahawks stuff? That's on you. But for me, I love the Seahawks. Now, can I tell you, this is what we're going to talk about today. Today, we're going to be in week two of the series we're calling it Terms and Conditions. God has in the Bible, God has different things in the Bible that are terms and conditions. And today we're going to talk about one, and I'm going to call it, it's called Stress Less. How can we stress less? Right now in our world, we've got a lot of things stressing us, right? We've got the pandemic. We've got some things that are open, some things that are closed, some things that are kind of open. We've got schools that people are now not able to go to school. They're on Zoom stuff and all these things. We've got different places around our country like Portland and stuff that's just tearing itself apart and fighting and looting and all these different things that are going on. We've got the pandemic. We've got looting. We've got an election coming up. It's like all these things are coming together. And then just here in Tri-Cities, just this last Monday, we had like the weirdest weather ever, where it was just like all this wind and we had all this smoke and fire stuff that was going around from the fires all around this area. It's like, what? It's like the apocalypse, right? It's like, what is going on? We got a lot of stress on different things. So today I want to talk to you on terms and conditions. How can we stress less? How can we do that? Because can I tell you, if there's ever been a time we need to stress less now? But let me start by asking you, what do you stress about? What are you stressing about? I want to tell you some of the things that probably you're stressing about. A lot of people stress about. We stress about our kids. We stress about our marriage. We stress about finances. We stress about our health. We stress about retirement. If you're a student, you're probably stressing about your grades. I mean, there's all these different things that we are stressing about. Why do we stress? Why do we worry? What does worry do for us? Well, it gives us ulcers. I mean, other than that, it really doesn't help. But yet Scripture talks to us. Scripture tells us about people in the Bible that are like big people in the Bible, that they stressed, that they were concerned, that they were worried, that they had issues and problems. They had stuff, and they just didn't know what to do about it. Let me give you an example. There was one of them was a guy named Peter. Now, Peter was one of Jesus' disciples. And before that, he was a fisherman. And Jesus calls him out to stop being a fisherman and start being a disciple. And here he is. He's following Jesus. Listen, he's following Jesus for 3 years. And towards the end of Jesus' life, before he goes to the cross, all of a sudden, Peter denies knowing Jesus 3 times. And all of a sudden, he realized what he has done. And he is so remorseful, and he has so much stress, and he runs away, and he cries, and he goes, I can't believe what I did. Fast forward, Jesus dies, rises again, and then we see Peter in the book of Acts. Peter, in the Gospels and in the book of Acts, we see that his life oftentimes was in balance. People wanted to kill the disciples because they killed Jesus, and they thought, well, we're going to kill him next. And so he was probably fearful, worried, concerned, stressed that he'd be killed. I mean, this is a guy that had a lot of stress, a lot of things going on. But yet, Peter, now listen to this. But yet, Peter is the one who was a fisherman that tells us to cast all of our cares and concerns onto God. You know what the word cast means? It's a fishing term. You cast out the line where the fish is at. What he's saying is we cast our problems, our fears, our struggles onto God. This is the fisherman, Peter, who's stressed on other things. He's going, I need to learn this, and I want you to know it too. We need to cast all of our troubles, our problems, our fears to God. Give it to him. Interesting. Then we come to another guy named Paul. We see him in the book of Acts. Paul was not a Christian at first, and because of that, he would arrest Christians and try to have them executed. Finally, he has this encounter with Jesus Christ. You got to read it in the book of Acts. It's a great story. And all of a sudden, Paul becomes a Christian. And when Paul became a Christian, all of a sudden, he's having stress because he's going, what did I do? Think of those Christians that I put to death. Think of those Christians that I had arrested. What did I do? How could I do this? And then scripture tells us later that Paul had this thing called a thorn in the flesh. Now, it wasn't literally a thorn in his flesh. It was a problem. It was something that he was stressing about. We don't know exactly what it was. Over years, I've made jokes about it. I think it was probably his mother-in-law. I don't know if that's true or not. A lot of theologians believe that it was actually his eyesight. You know, here's Paul. Paul was trying to reach out to other people to help them to know about Jesus, right? And he wants to let them know about this, but he just can't do it on his own, because when he was writing letters, he was actually saying it out loud and somebody else was writing it down for him. Why? Because his eyes were going bad. Now, he couldn't see well, or he was going blind. That's what theologians believe. That was probably the thorn in his flesh. And then we also see this, and I love this. He was probably stressed because he started a bunch of churches, and then he would often be thrown in prison for quite a while. He spent many years in prison. And I could just see Paul being stressed. Now, listen. I could see him being stressed because he's going, I got to get out there and start more churches. I got to get people to understand who Jesus is and that he's the Savior, the Son of God, the Messiah. I'm wasting time in prison. Only thing I can do here in prison is write letters to the churches that I've already started and try to encourage them. That's all I can do. I need to get out. And yet, he didn't realize this is part of God's plan. Because God is going, I'm going to give you a timeout. I'm going to have you be in prison for a while. And yes, you could be out starting other churches and reaching more people, but this is more important. I'm giving you time to literally write these letters, because these letters are going to go forever. They're going to go till the end of time. Yes, you could start a church and reach more people, but the reality is this. By writing these letters are going to be in most of the books of the Bible in the New Testament. You're going to reach more people through these letters than if I had you come out of prison and start a church. See, Paul didn't realize that, but God did. Paul was stressing. I got to get out there. I got to open up more churches. And God's going, no, I got you right where you need to be. But yet we stress and we don't think God's in control. I'm pretty sure Paul probably thought that. And God's going, you're right where you need to be. And yet it's Paul. It's Paul that writes this in Philippians 4:6. In Philippians 4, he says this. Paul says, be anxious about nothing. Be anxious about nothing, but pray about everything, and God will grant us peace. Be anxious about nothing and pray about everything, and God will give us peace. And then Jesus comes on the scene, right? And Jesus comes on the scene, and Jesus is going, hey, your heavenly Father, he feeds the birds. He clothes the grass and the flowers. If God can take care of birds and grass, God can take care of you as well. And I agree. But it's still a struggle. Why do we struggle? Why don't we just trust God? Why do we struggle and fight all these things? Why don't we just listen to God? And then I got thinking, okay, so one of the things that we stress about is the future. So who is it that's responsible for the future? Is it God? Is it me? Is it ourselves? Or is it both? And so I looked at some verses in the Bible, and here's a couple that I saw, and they're both in Proverbs. In Proverbs of 12, it says this: those who work their land will have abundant food. In other words, it sounds like it's on us. If you work, you will have food. You'll have a good future, right? That's one of the verses in Proverbs. Let me give you another verse in Proverbs. It says in Proverbs 14, it says, all hard work brings a profit. Again, that sounds like to me that it's on me. For me to have a good future, it's on me. But yet I'm not convinced that that's true. You know, the old saying, like, you know, trust God as if it all depends on him, but work as if it all depends on me. That's kind of where I, is it God or is it me? And I believe it's both. I don't think we say, oh no, God's the one that's going to take care of our future. I don't have to worry about it. You know, and then all of a sudden you're saying, I'm not going to work. I'm not going to go to school. I'm not going to do anything else. I'm just going to sit down and watch Netflix for the rest of my life and God's going to give me a great future. No, not as God's going to do that. It's somewhere in the middle. We trust God for our future, but we have to be part of this as well. We have a part to play as well. But the question is, where's the balance? How much of each? This is something that's kind of hard to understand. And then, to complicate it even more, Jesus comes along. And Jesus gives us a command. And the command that Jesus gives you and I and everybody else on the planet, this commandment he says to us is this. Take a look at this. He says, do not worry. To which I worry about that. Why shouldn't I worry? Right? Do not worry. That is a command. Now, I would be easier with this if this was a suggestion. If Jesus were to say here, hey, Mark, or hey, whatever your name is, I just want to give you a suggestion. Just don't worry. Okay. I can take it as a suggestion. Or I can even give it as advice. Somebody comes to me, they're worried, they're concerned, all this kind of stuff. I could say, hey, man, take my advice. Just don't worry so much. I can understand this if it's a suggestion. I can understand this if it's advice. But when it's a command, do not worry. Jesus said it in Matthew 6 two different times in verse 25 and 31. He said it and then he reset it again because he knows that we need to hear things multiple times. And it's a command. Do not worry. Wow. The key, now I want to give you the key to this. The key to understanding biblical commands, here's what it is to remember that every command points, where does it point? It points beyond itself to the God who gave it. The key to understanding biblical commands is to remember that every command points beyond itself to the God who gave it. Let me give you a couple examples. In Exodus, it says this. Exodus says, you shall not murder. Okay, why? Why? How does it point back to God? Because God is the one that created all life. And God is the one who gives life. And God is the one who takes away life. You see, it points right back to him, to the creator, the one who gives and takes life. The Bible also tells us this in 1 Thessalonians. In 1 Thessalonians, it says, never stop praying. Never stop praying. Because why? Because circumstances will always come up. We will always have problems. We'll always have issues. We may even be upset or angry at God. But regardless, we should never stop talking to God. Can I tell you? When you have struggles, when you have problems, when you have stress, when you're angry at God, that's probably the most time when you should talk to him, not stop talking to him. You see, it always points beyond itself to the God who gave that to us. Wow. So let me give you, it's a little bit of a long passage, but I want to share this with you. This is a passage that Jesus said in Matthew 6, and it's going to go a little bit. And so let me just kind of share it with you. Here's what it says. Jesus was saying to us, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Okay. Look at the birds of the air. This is Jesus speaking. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you, now think of this question, are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life to which you have to say no? No. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. And then it goes on and says this, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? And then he goes on and says this, so do not worry about saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For the pagans, people that are far from God, people that don't believe in God, people that don't want to have a God, for the pagans run after all these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Then it goes on and says this, and this is really where I want to focus in on right here. But seek first his, God's, kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things will be given to you as well. Right there, this portion right here, this is the terms and conditions. This is God's terms and conditions for you and me. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Isn't that true? But right here, terms and conditions. Seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you as well. Now, let me talk a little bit about what Jesus is saying here. Jesus tells us two important things about God. Well, number one is this, God is our Father. God is our Father. God is our Father. He's our heavenly Father. He's the one that created you and every person and everything on the planet. God is our Father, which means whether you like to own it or not, you are his son or daughter. Because he created you. He loves you. You may not know him, you may not love him, but he is your Father. Second thing is this. Number two is this, is that God has what it takes to provide for us. God has what it takes to provide for us. So let me go back to that Father thing for just a moment. God is our Father. It's interesting, when Jesus first started his earthly ministry, one of the first things he did is he was on a mountain and he gave what's called the Sermon on the Mount. If you were to read the Sermon on the Mount, you will see roughly around 15 times Jesus is talking about God the Father. God is our Father. And then towards the end of his life, before he's getting ready to leave this planet, from John chapter 14 to John chapter 17, those four chapters, Jesus is talking about kind of giving his farewell address and everything, and he is talking about God the Father 50 times, 50 times. Do you think he was trying to nail home a point? God is our Father. That is who he is. And God tells us what he's like. Jesus tells us what God the Father is like. Jesus tells us that God is all powerful. He's all knowing and he's all loving. Well, what do you mean he's all powerful? If he can take care of the grass, he can take care of birds, he can take care of you as well because he is all powerful. But you know what? He's also all-knowing. He knew you before you were conceived. He knew you before you were born. He knows everything you have done. He knows every word you said, every thought you've had in your head. He knows everything you've done. He knows everything you're going to do in the future. He knows you intimately. He knows you more than you know yourself. God is all-knowing, and God is all-loving. God knows those things you said, those things you did, those things that you're embarrassed about that you hope nobody knows. You know them. and God knows them. But God is all loving, and God is always there ready to forgive you. God is always there ready to forgive you. All we have to do is come to him and say, God, forgive me of my sins, and turn back towards him. See, God is all loving, and he's all powerful, and he's all knowing. And then scripture tells us this. And if you do this, if you do these terms and conditions, if you put God's kingdom first, and you live in right living with him, then, he says, then all these things will be given to you. Well, what does that mean? Does that mean I get that new ski boat? Does that mean I get a mansion? Does that mean I get $1 million? What does this mean? No, you know what it means? It means that God will give you your necessities. God will give you the food and the clothing that you need. That's what he will do. So often we're like, well, I thought I could, you know, get a free trip to Disneyland or a free cruise or a few. No. God is saying right now, God could give you whatever he wants. But what God is saying here is if you care about my kingdom, I'll care about your kingdom. If you put me, God, first and my kingdom, then all these other things will be given to you. And those other things are necessities. It's food. It's clothing. Sometimes you probably wonder, why do people trust God, but a lot of people don't have their basic needs met? Let me give you an example. I hope this makes sense. Let's say that I have two kids. Let's say I have a son and a daughter, okay? My son is older, my daughter is younger. And let's say this was last year. We're not in a pandemic. It's September of last year, and everybody's actually able to go to school, right? And so it's the first week of school, and I've got my older son and my younger daughter, and they're going to school together, and I'm saying to my son, here is money for you for this week to be able to get lunch. And I give it to my son because he's older and I think he's more trustworthy, right? And then comes Friday. And on Friday, I find out that my daughter, the younger one, hasn't had lunch at all Monday through Friday. And so I go to my son, I said, why has your sister not had lunch? And I come to find out that my son, who's older, has been using half the money for his lunch, but the other half that he's supposed to be paying for his sister's lunch, he's just pocketing for himself. Now, in this scenario, whose fault is it? Me as the dad for trusting my son, or my nitwick son that's being selfish, buying food for himself and not buying any for his sister, but he's just pocketing it? You see, in a sense, isn't this what God does for us? We in our world, we look at people in America and we look at people across the world. And in this world, we've got like third world countries where people are hungry and stuff. And we go, I don't understand why God doesn't get them food and stuff. And God's going, I gave you the resources. I expected you to do something, but yet you're not. Now, here, let me give you an example. So my family and I, we support a girl named Gloria, 5-year-old girl, in Guatemala. And the money that we give each month will help her and her family to have food and will help her to be able to go to school and have some medicine when she needs it. And so those are things that will help her and her family. Now, I can help Gloria. I might be able to help a second kid or a third kid, but I do not have the resources to take on all 300,000 or 3 million kids in all the world that needs food. But I can do what only I can do. And God has given you probably extra as well. And yet we are not doing what God's called us to do. We're just keeping it all for ourselves, just like that older brother, just using the money for himself and then pocketing the rest. And yet his sister is hungry. God has blessed us in America to do so many great things, but yet we just think it's all for us. And we blame God. And God's going, don't blame me. I gave it to you. I've asked you to do that. But for some reason, we just don't do it. And then here's the other thing. We really only care about what we care about. We're really only devoted and care about what we are concerned for. Let me give you an example. So today is the Seahawks' first game. I am devoted to the Seahawks. They are our team for our state. I know most of the players. I follow some of the stats. I'll know as the season goes on where they're at in the standings and if they can get to the postseason and all that stuff. Because I'm devoted to the Seahawks. They're my team because they're Washington State, right? I am not devoted to the 49ers. Sorry. Those of you who are, we pray for you. But the 49ers, I'm not. Now, I'll know a little bit about them if the Seahawks play them. I'm like, okay, I want to see how they're doing, their standings and stuff, right? Then I care a little bit. But I really don't care about the other teams. I just care about the Seahawks. That's basically where I'm at. Now, let me bring it to another place. I am devoted and I care about my daughter. When my daughter was in school, growing up from middle school to high school, I was concerned and I was devoted to make sure that she did her homework, she did it right, she did it on time, all that stuff, right? Now she's in college. And now that she's in college, the same thing is happening. I'll say, man, okay, how are you doing? Are you doing your classes? Are you showing up? You know, I want to make sure because I'm devoted to her. I'm her father. I want to take care and make sure that she's doing the right things, right? I hope that your kids turn out well, but I'm not devoted to your kids. I'm not calling you at 9 o'clock at night saying, has your kid done his homework? No, because that's not my kid. That's your kid. I'm devoted to my kid. You should be devoted to your kid. You see, but that's what we do. We're so focused on just what we are focused on, what we are devoted to. And what should we be devoted to? Let me give you this. This is the pivotal terms and conditions right here. It's this. When you seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, then God will give you everything you need. Does that mean everything like that ski boat and this? It's your necessities. Those are the things that he'll give. He may give you others, but he's promising at least the necessities. Are you ready for that? When you seek the kingdom of God above all else, including your kingdom, how many of us are more focused on our own kingdom? God says, no. When you seek my kingdom first, put me first. God, your kingdom doesn't last. When you die, it goes to somebody else. But God's kingdom is now and eternal forever and ever and ever. God says, when you care for about my kingdom, then I care about your kingdom. When you seek my kingdom above everything else and live righteously in relationship with me, then I, God, will give you everything you need, your necessities as well. Whew, man, let me give you something for your notes. When we're devoted first to God's kingdom, you know what happens? We worry a lot less. When we're devoted first to God's kingdom, we worry a whole lot less. But let me give you the exact opposite of this. But when we're devoted first to our kingdoms, we worry a lot more. We worry a lot more when it's all about ourselves, our kingdom. We lay awake at night. How are we going to pay that bill? How are we going to do this? How are we going to do this? That's why God's going, look, put that aside. Focus on my kingdom. When we focus on God's kingdom, we worry so much less. Well, I've noticed this in my life. When I focus more on God and his kingdom, I actually seem to make better choices. I make better decisions. In fact, let me give you an example, a true story. There's a guy named A.C. Green. A.C. Green was a pro basketball player in the NBA. And he was actually, he won three rings, championship rings. And he also was a guy who was born in Hermiston, lived just like 30 minutes away from where we're at right now here in Tri-Cities. And so what happened with him is he was known as the Iron Man of the NBA. He played almost 1,200 games consecutively. I mean, this guy was just amazing. But here's the thing about him. He was a Christian and he was single. And he had people on the court and off the court trusted him. They believed that what he would say, he would do. And one of the things that he said and he did is, as a Christian and as a single person, he said, "I am not going to have sexual intimacy until I get married." He believed that that's what God's word said, and it does. I mean, if you're a part of C3, when we talk about sexual intimacy, it's all about, not about dating or getting married. It's once you actually get married is when sexual intimacy is supposed to occur. And he said, "That's how I'm saying it. So I'm not going to have sexual intimacy until I get married." And he took a lot of jokes and ribbing from his teammates and even from the press. And finally, in 2002, at the age of 38, he got married. And when he got married, he had a reporter come and talk to him about this. And he said, and the reporter asked, why did he take a stand for abstinence? And this is what A.C. Green, who grew up in just Hermiston, 30 miles from here, this is what he said to that reporter. He said, "It wasn't really about taking a stand for abstinence. It was about seeking first the kingdom of God. God said to wait, so I waited." It was that simple. I love that. I'm supposed to seek God first. God said, "Don't do it. I'm not going to do it." It's that simple. Let me give you something for your notes. Following Jesus isn't easy, but it's not complicated. Following Jesus may not be easy, but it's not complicated. Why do we make it so complicated? God just tells us, this is what I want you to do. This is how we have a relationship. Seek me first. Seek my kingdom first. Then I'll give you these things. It's not complicated. So, bottom line, how do we apply this message? How do we apply it to our lives? How do we do this? You know the answer and how we do this? It's Matthew 6:33. Matthew 6:33, the verse that we've been talking about today, where it says, "Seek first the kingdom of his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." That is how we apply this. That is how we live this verse out. Do you want to have less stress? Matthew 6:33. "But seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." God is promising us you can have less stress and know God. Let's pray. So, Father, right now, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you that you give us these terms and commands, and we look at how do we, these terms and these conditions work together, and we thank you for today's. If we seek you, your kingdom, we seek you, as we do that, God, you then will care about our kingdom, and you will bless us with our necessities. I'm so thankful for that. Lord, today there are people right now that are followers of you that are stressing. And I pray that you would help them to remember Matthew 6:33. I pray that you would help them to remember this and to apply this to their life, to begin to care about your kingdom and put that first. And Lord, the stress will begin to go down. And I'm so thankful for that. I pray for those right now that maybe don't even have a relationship with you, but they're stressed as well, and they're going, "I just need answers. I just need help." Lord, today, this is the help. You are telling them. It's Matthew 6:33. Come into right relationship with God. Care about God's kingdom, and he will care about yours. So, Lord, I pray for those right now that are needing you and crying out to you. God, I pray that you would just hear their heart as they pray to you right now, asking for your forgiveness, asking for your relationship, asking for you to be part of their life. And I'm so thankful for those that are making that decision right now. And we celebrate that today. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, real quick, today before you go, if you said yes to Jesus, would you text the word Jesus to the number that's on the screen right now? And as you do that this week, Monday through Friday, I'm going to send you about a 3-minute video every week or every day, Monday through Friday, that will help you to understand what your decision was and how you can grow to know God. I am so glad that you were here today.